This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The report from the Department of Agriculture is suggesting soybeans are increasing in profitability over corn. The soybean-to-corn price ratio is often used as one of the several tools in measuring profitability of soybeans and corn. The current ratio of U.S. soybeans-to-corn price has recently risen, sending a signal to farmers that the relative profitability of soybeans has increased over corn, according to USDA's Economic Research Service. The ratio, which averaged 2.51 over the past 20 years, can tell farmers whether planting, harvesting, and storing one or the other crop might be advantageous. When the USDA's June 2020 acreage report indicated less corn acreage had been planted than expected in the earlier spring, futures prices for corn in the marketing year 2020-2021 increased by 8%. Soybean futures prices increased at the same time. Since late June, expectations of higher corn yields eroded the futures price for corn by 2.4%, while the price for soybeans increased by 1.1%. That differential in price led to an increase in the soybean-to-corn price ratio from 2.64 to 2.71. That's a 2.5% increase from late June. China pork imports have hit a record volume in July, more than doubling to 430,000 metric tons from last year. Chinese importers have been bringing in huge volumes of meat this year to fill large domestic supply, after African swine fever killed millions of pigs there, according to Reuters. The data does not include the origin of pork, but major suppliers include the United States, Brazil, and the European Union, along with Canada. The record comes as many countries saw a slowdown in processing earlier this year, creating a backlog of market-ready animals due to the coronavirus pandemic. Further, China has slowed the import process by instituting coronavirus checks of frozen food containers. For the first half of 2020, China's pork imports reached 2.65 million metric tons, up from just over 1 million metric tons a year ago. Meanwhile, China's beef imports reached 210,000 metric tons, and first half 2020 shipments were pegged at 1.2 million metric tons. In news out of the Midwest, Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds this week has allocated $100 million of CARES Act funding for Iowa agriculture. The funds include $60 million for the Iowa Livestock Producer Relief Fund. The fund will provide grants of up to $10,000 to eligible producers of pork, beef, chicken, turkeys, dairy, fish, or sheep to serve as working capital to stabilize livestock producers. Also included in the funding is the State Biofuel Grant Program, receiving $15.5 million. This fund will provide relief to Iowa ethanol and biodiesel producers based on gallons produced. Meanwhile, the Renewable Fuels Retail Recover Program, worth $7 million, supports a program that helps expand retail fueling infrastructure for higher blend renewable fuels. Finally, the Iowa Beginning Farmer Debt Relief Fund, worth $6 million, provides eligible beginning farmers with a long-term debt service payment of up to $10,000 to be paid directly to their lender. Iowa Corn Growers Association President Jim Grief says, quote, "Every bit of this help is needed," while thanking Reynolds for her support. And stay tuned. We'll have your latest Illinois State Ag News on a Thursday, coming up next.
When you think about planning for tomorrow, it may seem overwhelming. At Country Financial, we have a suggestion. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started. Because when it comes to solving the big challenges of tomorrow, you can start with simple steps today. With personalized insurance and financial services that can have a big impact on your family's future. Country Financial, when you're ready to start, we're ready to help. Call me, Wayne Schaefer, at 498-5800.
With commodity prices lower, are you maximizing your fertilizer dollar by putting nutrients where your crop needs it most? Talk to M&M Service about their precision farming programs and decision-making tools. With their expert analysis and recommendations, you'll find the process of decision-making a whole lot easier. Minimize cost, maximize yields, optimize results. Discover how M&M can apply precision farming technologies to your operation. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Send your kids back to school with healthy and nutritious farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. For breakfast, give them a tall glass of 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. It'll keep them energized all morning long. Top hot oatmeal or cold cereal with any of the 9 varieties of wholesome Prairie Farms milk. And for an after-school snack, try Prairie Farms yogurt. With Prairie Farms dairy products, your kids will go to the head of the class. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer-owned.
Shop.areadieselservice.com is the easiest way to find the parts you need for your diesel. Since 1973, Area Diesel Service Incorporated has been committed to providing quality parts and services for turbochargers, diesel fuel injection systems, and diesel engines. Located in Carlinville at 1300 North University, they are always just a phone call away at 854-2641 and always online at shop.areadieselservice.com.
Moving on now into Illinois State Ag News for your Thursday. Harvest season will soon be underway with farmers hauling corn and soybean crops to the local elevator. Jeff Adkison with the Grain and Feed Association of Illinois says there will be some new changes and challenges this year due to the ongoing pandemic.
One thing that I would suggest is that producers and those delivering grain to the grain elevator, that you reach out ahead of time to find out what your local company policy may be. I know some that are basically saying, you know, we're not going to let you come into the office. We'll come out to you. Other ones that are in various stages of that. We are also sponsoring a webinar. We've got an attorney from a law firm that's done a number of presentations to chambers of commerce, Illinois Manufacturers Association, groups like that, to talk to our members and try to answer some of their questions that they may have about what they should do if there is a positive test, how they should handle that, what the best course of action is. You know, I've gotten questions along the lines of, well, if I've got somebody that's working outside, they tell me they've tested positive, they don't feel bad, if they're not working around anybody else, can they continue to work? questions like that that I don't have an answer for, and that I wouldn't try to answer that. That's what the legal people are there for. But I think it's really important for farmers, producers, anybody delivering grain this fall, to make sure you've reached out to the elevator to find out what their protocols are going to be, how they're going to handle it, whether you can come into the office or you can't come into the office, or how the scale tickets are being delivered, things like that. So there's a lot of different policies being put into place, and they're going to be very fluid, just like any of the situations we're in throughout the state. Check with your elevator on that and make sure that you do engage in safe practices as you work through this harvest season.
The Grain and Feed Association represents more than 90% of the commercial grain storage space in the state, where members include grain elevators and grain handling facilities, processors, feed mills, and companies who provide goods and services to the industry. In the latest state IDNR news, your favorite fishing spot might be closed, and no, it's not due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. It's because of excess littering. That's the message from DNR, who indicates a spillway and a few other areas that are popular for fishing on Clinton Lake are being overrun by the public's trash. DNR Conservation Police Sergeant John Williamson says it is not what they want to do, but they have no other option at this point.
We're trying a new sign program in certain areas of Clinton Lake, and we started with the spillway. Some signage was put down there. It's been, well, at least I think a couple months they put it down there, and basically letting the fishermen know that if they don't clean up their mess, that the area will be closed. And that has historically been a horrible area for people leaving trash. You know, there's a trash can that is 20 yards from where people fish, but yet they can't seem to find it. The site superintendent and some of the wardens got together and said, well, if we can't get people to fix themselves, we'll fix it for them, and posted it that if the trash keeps remaining, that the area will be closed.
According to Williamson, empty worm containers all the way to dirty diapers are among the things left at the spillway. He adds there are also people who are leaving bags of home trash at the site. Not only is the spillway a trouble area, but there are also other popular fishing spots that are often highly littered. Williamson indicates garbage service is a very expensive service to offer, and so they are imploring the public to simply pick things up after themselves before they leave. In other state ag news, weather forecasts are indicating that what's left of Hurricane Laura is heading for southern Illinois, but what does that mean for the area's crops? Saline and Gallatin County Farm Bureau Manager Marissa Davis says it might be a speed bump for farmers who are starting to think about harvest.
It's going to slow some people down, for sure. Some of that, the corn and soybeans that are still green, that are still trying to produce a little extra, an extra pot or two, and the soybeans will need it. Otherwise, if the corn is already fired up and it's dry at the bottom, it doesn't need much more rain. It just needs the hot, dry air and some wind. There's nothing better than natural drying over having our producers have to pay to dry that at the elevator and or at their own house in a grain bin.
Davis says the early planting season earlier on this spring does give farmers more wiggle room for harvesting their crop. She says that some farmers have even started harvesting in southern Illinois this week. And we're in the middle of a late summer heat wave across Illinois. Temperatures have been in the 90s with heat indices around 100, and they're expected to continue through Friday, according to state climatologist Trent Ford.
It's actually pretty amazing. You know, July was humid, but we only had a couple of days where the highs actually reached into the 90s across the state. And so when we think about highs in the mid-90s, which I'm seeing forecasted highs in areas like Peoria and the Quad Cities of 95, 96, yeah, we haven't seen that this year yet, and especially strings of those days put together. Heat that we're seeing this week is, it kind of hits in twofold. First and foremost, it's a late season heat. And so we've already been through, you know, the quote unquote dog days of summer. So it's a little bit unexpected that we see, this intensive heat this late. But also we had last week, which gave us that nice, you know, first taste of fall-like temperatures, which can create some issues with acclimatization. You know, we get used to the cooler temperatures. And then we have this big burst of heat and humidity. And so it is important that folks, as they're working outside this week, do take the necessary precautions as they would with extreme heat in the middle of summer. Because these temperatures, like you mentioned, with heat index values getting up into the low triple digits are really no joke. So that is something to take precaution of.
Before it does mention, cooler temperatures are on their way this weekend, but also there's a chance of thunderstorms. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here for a Thursday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Thursday afternoon, August 27th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.